Systemic Teaching About Christian Life Series Walking in Newness of Life Distribution conditions of this material are described at zoominchristianlife.org. Subject of this audio Walking Faithfully in Times of Freedom and Peace Chapter 1 Do Not Use Liberty as an Opportunity for the Flesh This new material is a continuation of the subjects of the series Walking in Newness of Life and is preceded by the following themes. 1. To be, to abide, to live, to walk and to bear fruit in Christ. 2. Rooted and established in Christ. 3. The singular freedom of living and walking in Christ. 4. Walking in Newness of Life. 5. Walking as holy people or belonging to the Lord. 6. Walking in an acceptable and worthy manner of God. 7. Walking zealous for good works. 8. Walking in Christ without turning back to the basic principles of the world. In the first three subjects mentioned above, we address several aspects that are complementary to each other in the Lord's calling to walk in the newness of life in Christ Jesus and that give support to this calling, starting to see the very walking in newness of life in more detail from the five other subjects mentioned above. In other words, in the last five themes mentioned above, we have sought to show, through the scriptures, that the fact that each Christian is called to walk in the Lord's newness of life still in the present world also expresses that each one of them is called to 1. Present oneself personally to God in the quickened way one received from the Lord. 2. Walk as a saint or belonging to the Lord who separated the Christian from the path of darkness and death and placed him or her in the way of light and eternal life. 3. Walk in a way that is pleasant, acceptable, or worthy of God. 4. Walk in the condition of being able to be zealous for good works. 5. Persevere in walking in newness of life without returning to the ways from which one was saved by the Lord. In the themes referenced above, we highlighted that the salvation provided by God for human beings is a from, to so that a person can also effectively live and walk in the condition to which one is saved and that presenting oneself personally to God in a way that is alive, holy, worthy of the Lord, and zealous for good works expresses essential practical and integral aspects of effectively walking in newness of life. And once a Christian also begins to walk effectively in a way that is living, holy, worthy of God, and zealous for good works, one may find that there is still more to be lived in the Lord, expressed, in turn, by an increasing walking in God's will or also called to walk from glory to glory in the Lord. The calling for a Christian to walk in the Lord's novelty of life is not a calling to an occasional, sporadic, or just initial experience when a person receives Christ in the heart. On the contrary, it is a lifelong calling to the one who has been given the condition to be able to live and also walk increasingly in this newness of life. Nevertheless, as we discussed in the last subject of the list referenced in the introduction to this chapter, for a Christian to grow and become firmly established in the Lord, it is also necessary for him or her to add perseverance to one's walking in the Lord, which, in turn, also encompasses the position of a Christian not returning to subjection to the conditions from which one has already been saved or redeemed by God's salvation. The fact that the salvation provided by God for human beings is a from, to, so that a person also receives new conditions of life and can indeed live and walk in the state to which one was saved, is fundamental also in the aspect that the calling in the Lord to the newness of life is equally a calling so that a person no longer needs to live and walk according to the condition from which one was redeemed. And also because of this, every Christian is called to persevere steadfastly in the Lord regarding walking in the novelty of life, but also regarding not accepting a return to subjection to the conditions from which one was saved. Ephesians 4 17-24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. And even though not turning back to subjection to what a Christian has been saved, redeemed, or freed from has already been addressed in the last subject mentioned above and in the theme Forgetting Those Things Which Are Behind, we would like to briefly address it once again in the sense of how crucial it is for a Christian not to adopt a position of giving occasion to the flesh precisely because one has already achieved freedom or peace in one's heart. As we are warned, for example, in the text that follows below. Galatians 5, verse 13, a, and verse 16. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Given this, one of the reasons we are reiterating the fact that God's salvation offers and grants a from, to so that the saved person may live and walk in the condition to which one has been saved, also expressed by the aspect that a Christian is instructed by God not to use freedom to give occasion to the flesh, is because the practical fact that many people do not adhere or resist to adhere more extensively to the purpose of the heavenly salvation offered to them by God. Thus, when God instructs or exhorts Christians to be careful not to use freedom to give occasion to the flesh, the Lord also does so because the possibility of this happening is real and because some people actually start to think corruptly about the purpose of the heavenly salvation offered to them by God. In the words recorded by the prophet Isaiah, we find the statement that God teaches us what is useful and the way in which we should walk, Isaiah 48, 17. And since God instructs Christians not to use freedom to give an opportunity for the flesh, this also implies saying that this exhortation is necessary for Christians and useful for them to understand the liberty granted to them in Christ Jesus appropriately. The fact that the Lord calls Christians to be careful not to use the freedom granted to them to give occasion to the flesh also shows how much human beings can put themselves in a position of resistance to what seems to be so obvious, appropriate, or coherent. Since it is because of giving an opportunity for the flesh that human beings have come under the yoke of bondage to sin and also to the condemning law like the law of Moses that makes bondage to sin evident, it is notoriously obvious and coherent to expect that true freedom also encompasses a person no longer having to be subject to having to give occasion to the flesh. However, the fact that God needs to reiterate this repeatedly to Christians shows that some resist understanding or accepting the breadth or type of freedom granted to them in Christ. Throughout the Scriptures, we can observe that the problem of people not dealing appropriately with the purpose of freedom, peace, and abundance extended to them by the grace and the goodness of God is recurrent. Throughout the Scriptures, we can see how human beings are reluctant to accept that the freedom and peace that God offers them are not given to them so that they can go back to practicing what put them under bondage before being freed, as if life were reduced to a cycle of being freed to be enslaved again to be freed again, and so on. Although God is merciful and long-suffering to people and helps them over and over, even when they, by their own actions, place themselves subject to conditions of great distress and affliction, it is not part of God's will that a person, after no longer being in anguish and affliction, starts to consider the freedom granted by the Lord as being of little value, relevance, or even as possible to be despised to the point of returning to a condition of life in which one is once again subject to life according to the flesh. Freedom and peace of heart are not the end point of God's purpose of salvation, but are integral parts of salvation so that a person can come to live and walk increasingly in the purpose for which this freedom and peace have been conferred by the Lord. For example, through his salvation, God offers the reconciliation of people with him. However, he does it so that people actually make use of this reconciliation and not so that, after being reconciled, they return to live and walk according to the ways that people not reconciled with the Lord follow, as also remembered in the texts below. Romans 5, 1, 2, 10, and 11. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5, 18-20. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. When people think that the condition of freedom, peace, and needs supplied is synonymous with having achieved all that they could achieve in God, they still do not understand that the purpose for which they receive freedom and heavenly peace in their lives is also so that, as a priority, they can have a reconciled relationship with God and so that in Him they experience the purpose of salvation and the eternal support of the freedom and peace that was granted to them. When people do not see freedom and peace as a part of salvation so that they can live and walk in the Lord, they put themselves at a high risk of moving away again from the freedom and peace granted to them, for God Himself is the freedom and the peace to which people are called by heavenly salvation in Christ Jesus. In yet other words, the attitude of disinterest in God and the works of the Lord after obtaining freedom and peace only exposes people's lack of understanding of God's will for them or exposes how much they still prefer what acts to imprison them instead of freeing them. Therefore, what makes people think that when they are in trouble they should pay reverence and fear to God, but when they are satiated and have a sense of security they no longer need to be attentive to the fear of the Lord and against the wiles of evil? Evil is evil when a person has little, and evil is evil when a person has a lot. The truth is true when a person has little, and the truth is true when a person has a lot. The need for the discernment of good and evil is the same for people with little as it is for people with plenty. A person equally needs God and the freedom He provides when one has little and when one has much. Thus, one of the central problems of humanity, also concerning freedom and heavenly peace, is that many people, in their understanding, see the things that God gives as if the gifts were all they need from God, but not paying attention to the central point that it is God they really need above all. When people place supposed freedom, peace, and abundance in a more relevant degree than the very God who grants each of these aspects, they enter the risk of idolizing the gifts instead of worshiping the giver of the gifts. And by this, they lean to paths in which they come to the point of thinking that the freedom and peace that God grants them are to satisfy the most diverse yearnings and personal desires of their flesh, body plus soul, even if these are contrary to the will of God. Nevertheless, everything that takes the exclusive place of God can be shaken and will be shaken. In this way, blessed is the person who can see what can be shaken even in time to be able to repent of the idolatry to which one has become subject or, even better, in time to resist or not even submit to that which opposes freedom in the Lord. To live and walk in the present world being or abiding in Christ should always be a Christian's central aim, for the supply of the necessities for walking in newness of life, including liberty and peace, is granted to a Christian as a result of abiding in the Lord. The Lord is irreplaceable in providing life for Christians in times of trouble. However, the Lord is also irreplaceable regarding the provision of life for Christians in times of freedom, peace, and abundance, for these aspects so desired by people do not exist, in reality, outside the Lord or dissociated from fellowship with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Romans 6:22-23. But now having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. When the Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ grant the Holy Spirit to be in the hearts of those who receive Christ as Lord, they do not send the Holy Spirit to support Christians only when they are in distress and tribulation, but also when they are at peace in the heart, for it is also when Christians are at peace that they are enabled to receive with particular attention the instruction of God's will for their lives. Whether a person is in affliction and distress or whether one is conscious of one's freedom and peace in the Lord, one should, in both cases, be zealous and attentive concerning seeking God's guidance to act according to the Lord's will, for the Holy Spirit is given by the Lord to each Christian to be with each one of them in all the decisions of paths and actions of one's life. Along with freedom, the Lord grants the Holy Spirit to every Christian. And He not only gives Him to guide them in times of difficulty, but also to guide them to the right decisions in times of peace so that they may continue to grow and enjoy peace in their hearts and to be abundantly fruitful in the Lord. The Scriptures teach us that there is a time for every purpose under heaven, but who guides every Christian to the proper purpose and the beneficial use of the time due for every goal is the Holy Spirit of God. John 16:13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. Therefore, if a Christian despises the freedom and peace of heart granted by the Lord, one not only begins to choose to return to conditions similar to which one was in bondage before, but one also despises being instructed by the Lord at a time broadly favorable to be abundantly fruitful in one's condition of saved, holy, faithful, or Christian. The claim that the liberty or peace of God is given to a Christian so that one may give free occasion to the flesh, further claiming, under a corrupted concept, that a person under the grace of God is free to do what one wants to do without harmful consequences to one's life, may even have an appearance of freedom and be an attractive appeal to the flesh itself. However, the end of this path is always bitter, as well as its fruits can never add benefit to those who choose to follow this course. The call to freedom and peace in the Lord is also a calling to what is truly fitting and profitable according to God's will, and not to a life of fruitless works. This is why the Lord also teaches so clearly how beneficial it is for every Christian to keep walking in Christ Jesus or in the Spirit of the Lord without using liberty to give an opportunity for the flesh. Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Galatians 6:7-8. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Romans 13:11-14. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh, to fulfill its lusts. Isaiah 48:17. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go.